Hello there, it's Mary Lou Tyler. I was a guest a few weeks ago on a podcast that was so much fun that I invited the host of that podcast to come on to my podcast today. Pat Helmers is here. He's a podcaster for, I guess it's a radio show, Sales Babble. And he's also an interesting man because he does a lot of consulting and coaching for tech startups and startups that are, you know, through friends, families, colleagues, have inched their way into the $1 million range or higher, up to 5 million. But then now what they have to concentrate on really putting stuff together properly in order to get further. So he specializes in that as well. Welcome, Pat, to the podcast. It's so great to have you.
It's so great to be here, Mary Lou. This is such an honor.
So we're going to do a little bit something different today, as I'm told from you. You're going to surprise me as to the format of my show. So I'd like to start with, you know, you've obviously been doing this for quite some time now and have talked to a plethora of colleagues and experts. And let's talk about a subject that's near and dear to your heart, which it sounds like we're going to hit the qualifying subject. Is that correct?
Exactly correct. That's exactly.
All right. So let's start by helping our audience understand what the main problem is that you've encountered or that you see over and over again. That today what we're going to do is we're going to talk to them about the problem, give them a solution, and ask them to take action. Today, right?
Today.
All right.
Important to not just listen, not just to be infotainment, but to actually like to better yourself. So that's what we're going to do today.
So what specifically about qualifying is it that gets your blood boiling?
Well, I think how many times have you been to a network meeting and you shake hands with people and the first thing they do is they start spouting off this product or service that they have and you can't get them to stop?
Probably a lot.
And it's like they haven't taken the time to figure out whether or not you're even the right kind of person to purchase something that they have. And people do this on the phone too. You know, they call up and they start talking and they don't take the time to see whether or not you're the kind of person that would buy from them. And that's what we commonly call, you know, qualifying. Mm-hmm. Are you qualified to purchase what I have? And far too often people believe that if they just talk fast enough, it's going to be totally obvious that the stuff that I have is terrific and you should like write me a check right now. Hand over your credit card. That happens, doesn't it?
Indeed. Well, and we break it down in the framework that I put together. We go for fit and then qualification. And there's always a ton of information on LinkedIn and colleagues chiming in as to the perfect band or the perfect set of questions to ask. And I kind of take that with a grain of salt because I think it really depends on the situation.
I agree. And I have a framework of questions that we're going to go through, what I call the sort questions and what I call the dumb questions.
Oh, all right. So where do you want to start?
We can start with the sort questions.
Okay.
Because what we want to do is, you know, to a certain degree, sales is a race to value, right? The sooner that we can see if you can provide value to them, the better. Because if you can't provide value with them, you'd be probably better off to like move on, you know, stop wasting their time and to go work on, you know, some other lead. I did a study last year. The number two problem that people had, well, the number one problem that people had was we don't have enough leads. And the number two problem was we don't have enough time. And those are the kinds of things that we should be working on. So the trick is, remember I said before what it was people said, well, if you just listen hard enough, you'll want to buy my stuff. It is about listening, but you really have to turn around and you have to be the listener.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to do that is to build a process around that. Because if it's a repeatable process, then you're going to be much more, it's much more likely you're going to be successful. So the first set of questions are what I call the sort questions, S-O-R-T. The first question are the story questions. So commonly what the kinds of things I like to ask people are is like, you know, who are you? Where did you come from? Like where the company came from, or where you came from, where are you at right now? And what is your happily ever after? What do you want to happen in the future? And if you kind of just start asking people about themselves, they love to tell you. And especially if you do it in a very, you know, in a very conversational way. So what are you guys about? Where are you at right now? And they'll start maybe they may be saying good things that's happening to the company, but they also start probably sharing, you know, a little bit of challenges and problems that they're having. And then if you ask them, like, you know, where do you see the company going in 4 or 5 years, something like that, or the business with the new product or service they're providing, then they'll tell you. Once you've got them warmed up, then you move to the O questions, the obstacle questions. And the kinds of questions I like to ask are, what are the things that are stopping you from reaching your happily ever after? Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they'll start giving you a list of things that are issues. And you'll go, okay. And you should be mentally like writing these down. If it's on a telephone, I would physically be writing them down. And every time they say an obstacle, I'm of the notion of saying, what else? What else? And this was something I was taught many years ago when I was doing market research for a market research company. It's surprising if you keep asking what else, the things that will come out of people. Then the third thing you ask are the R questions. Those are the ramification questions. And what that goes to is that because of this obstacle, you would ask them, what are the ramifications of that happening on your business? What's the bad things that would be happening because of this? And what that actually should do is start making them angry and uncomfortable. So your goal to a certain degree is to make them not feel very good. And they'll start saying, well, because one problem, our costs are skyrocketing. Oh my goodness. Because of this other problem, our revenues are dropping. Oh my goodness. And this other problem that I mentioned, oh my goodness. That obstacle stops our profits and they're decreasing. And this obstacle is decreasing our quality. And this one is increasing our frustration and people are quitting, you know. That's kind of the goal that you're looking for.
So agitate.
And then you try to set them aside and you would say, we go to the T questions, the transformation questions. How would it transform your company if we were to take all those obstacles and make those disappear, poof, go away? And then they would see a light at the end of the tunnel. They would think, well, that would be terrific. If we could knock that obstacle down, then our revenues would increase. Mm-hmm. If we could knock that one down, our costs would decrease. And you just kind of walk through all those things. Now we're at a space. Now that you have a much better understanding, then you can ask yourself, do you have something that could provide value for them? Because you may read that they don't. This, to a certain degree, all sales is a matchmaking process. Am I a good match for you, and are you a good match for me? So what we're always looking to do is we're trying to go as fast as we can. We need to race to value. Remember I said sales is a race to value. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to see whether or not they're a match or not a match. And if the sooner you can find they're not a match, then you move on. So there's three more questions we have to ask, the dumb questions. Whether or not they're a good match. And the first one is, how do you guys make decisions about transformation? How do you make decisions about buying things or changing things or modifying things, increasing your process? And what you learn from that is whether or not they're the decision maker, or if it's done jointly, collectively, or if it's done on some kind of schedule, or there's lots of organizations have lots of different ways of approaching. But that's the next question you want to know. How do you make these kinds of decisions? Then you ask the you question, the urgency question. When are you looking to do something like this, to improve this, to take these obstacles and to start addressing them and to make those go away. And then the last one is what commonly comes of that is the money question or the funding question. Have you set aside budget to do something like this? And once you get a yes out of all of these, then and only then is it time for you to start pitching a solution to them. That makes sense?
Makes total sense. And in our world where there are some reps that these roles are separated, that is also the point in time where you decide whether this particular opportunity is ready for handoff to the quota carrying side of the house. Because we do have some of our audience who work in sales organizations where the roles are separated. And then, of course, there are the folks who prospect, close, and service accounts all in one role. They do it all. What I really like about this is that you are taking the time up front to learn about your prospect. That's so important. And you'll hear keywords and phrases and just little nuggets that if you do your homework and if you've studied your product and service, you should be able to link some of these obstacles to case studies, use cases, pieces of information that can help later on provide more specificity around how those problems were solved by your clients that went before them. So there's a good social proof built into that once you really listen to what the problems and challenges they're experiencing. You already have that map in your head of the solutions that you're able to give and also the specificity and proof that a client of yours has done that already at various stages of success.
I agree. I work with a lot of startups. And one of the big problems that they have is they have an itch that needs scratching and they go invent something. And to them, it seems obvious that everybody should want to buy it. They haven't kind of taken the time to really get to know who their ideal client is. They haven't built that value proposition. Mm-hmm. And so because they haven't gone through these kinds of questions over and over again, and to see these reoccurring themes, these reoccurring set of obstacles and how it affects their business, it's very difficult for them to even pitch a solution because they don't know their language.
Right.
Customers have a secret language and we need to learn that language. And the best way you can learn it is to listen.
Amen. So we have sort, we have dumb.
Yes.
And our listeners are like, okay, they told me that we're going to have to like do something now.
So picture the possibility. If we were to think about, if you were to write these down, what do you think would be the obstacles? What do you think would be the obstacles that your prospective clients would have? What do you think, because of these obstacles, how do you think it affects their business? And how do you think their business would be transformed if those were go away? Can you answer those? If you're a seller and you can't answer those questions, if you're not really absolutely certain, like I have an exercise where I have had them write down like 10 questions for each one of those.
Good. Yeah.
10 questions so that you should truly deeply understand what those are. This is what I mean by having a methodical process that mm-hmm. that you have something preset. So you're every time you're doing a sales call or anytime you're communicating with a prospective client, you have an agenda in mind and you know exactly what you're going to ask. That you're going to take this process to get to a place where I can see whether it's a match or it's not a match. And the sooner it's not a match, the better. Because I can move on to the next one. That way you're not wasting time with people who aren't qualified, who aren't ready to buy right now. They might be in 3 months, 6 months, a year. But better to find people who have a true need or desire right now that they want to address.
You know, this is such a great framework because it does force you to think through the obstacles, the outcomes, and the opportunities, and then overlay that with specificity later on. I'm thinking email engine too, because I know that what we're talking about right now is the actual call or face-to-face, but there's also a component of what the work that I do that leverages technology in the form of email engines. And this particular cadence that you're describing is also what we use in crafting our email sequences. And you actually said the word themes, and that's what we call them for the obstacles, is the themes. What are the themes for the email sequence that we know will resonate sooner than later with our prospects? And this is all to help us warm up that chill for the first call.
Right. We could totally turn this paradigm away from sales into marketing. Mm-hmm. Not so much about your ideal clients, about your avatar, right?
Right.
So unless you truly understand who you're at, what your avatar is or not like, how can you write an autoresponder series in an email?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You don't. You just spray and pray.
Right. And that just doesn't work. That's
no,
called.
It doesn't.
Right. You don't want to live in that space.
No.
Right. You want to be in a space where. So picture you could use a framework like this too to do market research. Mm-hmm. on a market niche that you think you want to address. And by asking these questions, they're going to be saying, let's say if we did we interviewed a dozen people, they're going to be giving these quotes that are just lovely that you'd want to stick in an autoresponder series.
I can't
believe our costs were going up because of this problem. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't sleep at night.
Right.
Does that sound like you?
So I know that a lot of our listeners are probably thinking, is there a standard list of questions that I can start from in each area? Or is it really something where I sit down and look at a blank piece of paper, write down SORT followed by DUM and start filling in the page? What do you recommend for our audience?
It'd be the latter, not the former. Because every market, one thing about sales babble is I've interviewed people in all kinds of industries all over the world. And their selling is very different actually in some things, in some businesses than in others. So I really think it's got to be something specific to your business. But surprisingly, I think if you think it out and write down, let's say I was to write out, 10 obstacle questions, you might know them. You actually might already know them, but just by dumb luck of being in the industry. Or you might not, and that's okay. If that's the case, then it's worth going back to clients that you have right now who are happy and asking them these questions. At the time that you bought from us, what was your story? At the time you bought with us, what were the obstacles that you were facing? At the time that you bought us, what was the ramifications of those obstacles on your business? What was the challenges that you were facing? And then once you bought us, how did that transform your business? And probably out of that, you're going to get a terrific quote that you can then stick on your brochures, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then for those folks in complex sales who are listening to this, it's so great to grab the different people, the different avatars that may be ebbing and flowing in at top of funnel, especially as you're trying to get and march that opportunity down towards close. You may be dealing with different people who bought for different reasons. So you don't want to just nail one and then not do the others. If there are more people that are coming into your world as you're working through the sales process. This exercise that Pat's talking about is great to do for any avatar persona that you think is going to be valuable, either a direct or an indirect influencer to your target, and of course, your target themselves.
It's interesting you mentioned something there about the close. It's actually very easy to close once you've gone through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Because the question becomes just simply is that you mentioned you had all these issues. And do you notice how our solution addresses each of those? You kind of walk through them one by one. See, we address that. See, we address it. See, we address that. And you get them to nod their heads up and down. And you go, well, and it looks to me like we're a good match for you, right? And they would go, yeah. And then you just simply say, well, let's get started.
Yep.
Let's start rolling it out. Who do I talk to about that? We have a process for that. Who should we start working with on that?
All those are great ways to help get people moving. That's what we want. We want people to move, you and then listeners included. So homework from this podcast is to really take those acronyms, and I'll put them into the show notes so that in case you're driving and like, I can't write this down at the same time, we'll go ahead and put those acronyms out there for you. And I'll give you some examples of my sort and dumb so that you have them there, because everybody knows I like to do what my hosts tell me that they're going to have my audience do. I also do the homework. So I'll be sure to put out my area, my questions. And a lot of you know I've worked on these already because I call it a success path, but it's the same, similar type of thing. And then for those of us who are working on email streams, which we dabble in marketing a little bit at this side of the funnel, this is absolutely wonderful to start thinking about how you're going to organize your emails, especially the ones that you're working on in what we call the working status, where you create the template and then you hyper-personalize depending on who you're talking to and at what position they are in the pipeline. These are great ways to kind of get them thinking through where they are, where they want to be, and then most importantly, how you have shown others how they got there and are now enjoying that transformation. What else would you like to share with our group, Pat?
I think that's a lot right there.
It is.
If you could just do one thing this week, is to really listen, genuinely listen to what people are saying to you when you meet with them. Not pitch too soon, but to deeply try to understand what is the need or the desire that they're looking for, and to see whether or not you can add value to their lives. Listen, it's the best way to know what people are thinking. You don't have to guess. Ask them. They'll tell you. People want to share. People want to share what's going on in their lives. I could go on and on about this.
Silence is always a good thing too. Don't be afraid of the silence after you ask a question. Don't feel that you have to fill that void with something else. I see that a lot, is we can't just sit back and let silence happen. And maybe they're thinking about what they want to tell you. Don't interrupt.
Totally agree. I could go. I could talk about, I got to give a demo. The power of asking questions and letting them ruminate over it.
Mm-hmm. It's unsettling when you first experience it or force yourself to do it. But after a while, you welcome it and you just let them stew, let them sit. Because they're probably thinking through all the different things that could happen, would happen, should happen. And you're their guide. You have to think of it that way. They're the hero. You're their guide. You're listening and waiting for them to respond. Don't interrupt.
I have this feeling, I don't know if there's data behind this, but I have this feeling that the more they talk, the more likely they'll buy.
Yes. I have been told on many occasions that I have been so helpful to people. And 90% of the time when you listen back to those conversations, I said one thing at the beginning. The rest of the time, it was them talking.
I'm a natural at asking questions and letting people do the talking.
Hence, that's why you're a great show host.
That's why I went into the podcast, I guess. That's probably something to that. I remember I read a story that Dale Carnegie once said where he would go to these dinners and he would ask people who he was sitting next to about their lives. And that would be it. He'd kick off the first question and then they would start talking. And he said at the end of the night, invariably they say, this has been the best discussion I've ever had with somebody. You are a master conversationalist.
Yes. I remember reading that, and I've heard Jay Abraham, who's a very good friend, tells the story about someone he met on a Basically, he went to Beijing or something, went up to the concierge room, sat down, saw a guy sitting over by the window, did the Dale Carnegie, asked him one question. And 3 hours later, the guy finished the conversation and said, same thing. This is the best night I've had. And Jay says, I really just asked him one question and that was it. So, yeah, good lessons, people. Definitely. The art of listening is one area that I take away for this week. And then definitely I'll put those acronyms out there. I think that's a wonderful way to remember how to carry on a conversation with your prospects. So, Pat, how do we get a hold of you if we want to learn more of the Pat wisdom?
Easy to find. Just Google Sales Babble. Google Pat Helmers. I pop to the top. So if they can go, they want to listen to the podcast, it's at www.salesbabble.com. You know, and I'm in iTunes and Player FM and Stitcher and all those. If you like, I'd be more than happy to build a worksheet for you with the sort of questions.
That would be awesome. We would love that.
Already built someplace. Okay. I could build a web page. Maybe predictableprospecting.com/salesbabble.
That would be awesome. Yeah, we'll get that going. Have that out there for them. When they listen to this call, it'll already be there.
I'll do that. We'll do that.
Very good. Well, we very much appreciate the time you've spent with us and look forward to hearing more of the Sales Babble podcast. Great group over there, people. So they were real excited about the the podcast that you and I did about the 7 healthy phone habits, because I got a lot of requests for that particular. It went really well. So it's good. What is that thing called? The blog post went crazy the other day because of your troops.
They're really smart people who want to get better, who are embracing sales. You're a great guest. I was honored to have you on there, and it has been an honor to be here visiting you.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it. And we'll have you back again, I'm sure. There's so many topics to talk about, so little time, right?
I almost started a few.
Good. Yeah. Qualification is good. This is good. This is where people get stuck a lot in the pipeline. And also that first conversation, what to say when they say hello on the other end. That's another area that we can go ad nauseum, but I think that's another area that I'm sure you have some great advice and instructional, first conversation. All right. We'll be sure to stay tuned to your podcast. And again, Pat, thank you so much. Enjoyed having you on the show today.
This has been terrific. Thank you.